Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Drew. 35, 30.
One of the end zone punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Zion. Yep.
Good morning once again, everybody. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. I'm Paul Dottino. I'll be here for the next hour to take your calls and your comments about the New York Football Giants and, of course, about other things going on with the NFL, the Super Bowl coming up in just a couple of weeks with the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. Our number, if you'd like to give us a call, is 201-939-4513. Or go to hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. I will monitor you, and we'll see what kind of comments you have for us. We'll try to get to those comments and, of course, answer any of the questions that you might have. If you're a little shy and want to go through the computer instead of giving us a call, once again, our number is 201-939-4513 here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Well, you know, it's been a very hectic week down here at the Giants Complex. Since the last time I was with you, as you know, we have rotating hosts here with the Giants broadcast team. I guess it was last Wednesday when I was doing the program, and, you know, we had a pretty good idea that Steve Spagnuolo was going to be the favorite for the Giants defensive coordinating spot. Well, as it turned out later on that afternoon, the announcement was indeed made that Spagnuolo will be coming back for his second stint as the Giants DC. So that was a very hectic but fun day. And, of course, he has already hit the ground running in his new job, or should I say old job, in running the Giants defense. I've not had a chance to talk to Steve yet. I'm hoping to do so very soon. And when I do, I'll certainly pass along some things to you folks out there in Giant Land as we learn what it is that Spags hopes to do with this team, what he thinks he still needs to get on this roster, and what it is that maybe he's learned over the years. Remember now, he's had stops in St. Louis as a head coach, in New Orleans as a defensive coordinator, and also with the Baltimore Ravens as a defensive assistant and associate head coach and handling the secondary as well. One thing that's very interesting, and I do want to, and I don't know how many times the other folks on the show have talked about it over the last week or so, there have been some people who have asked me, why do you think Spags is the right guy to do this the second time around? Because, after all, things did not work out well with the St. Louis Rams when he was the head guy. Nor did they work out very well in his 1 year as defensive coordinator with the New Orleans Saints. But the things that I want to point to in terms of why they didn't work out so well, I do believe, much like when Bill Belichick was a first-time head coach with the Cleveland Browns many years ago, and that didn't work out so well in his first venture into the head coaching ranks, I do honestly believe that Steve Spagnuolo is an outstanding defensive coordinator, but at that moment in time, I think he probably bit off too much, bit off a little bit more than he could really chew, and with an organization that, quite honestly, since the Kurt Warner days, hasn't really had a ton of talent on its roster. Now, they are a bit on the upswing now, I understand that, but a couple of years back when Spags, you know, was in charge of that team, they just did not have enough to really be competitive. And I think it was a tough situation for him. So, you know, hey, sometimes timing is just not good. Again, you ask the New England Patriots, are they thrilled with Bill Belichick? Yeah, I'm sure that they are. He's gone to 6 Super Bowls in 15 seasons. You ask the Cleveland Browns, were they thrilled with Bill Belichick? Nah, probably not very much so. So those things happen sometimes as the result of circumstances and timing. So I don't hold that against him in any way, especially since he's not coming here as a head coach. He is coming here as a defensive coordinator. Now, the Saints situation, very interesting. The 1 year that he was the defensive coordinator with the Saints and they did not fare all that well, as soon as they decided to part ways with him, they also announced, did Sean Payton, that they were going to change to a 3-4 defense. Now, what does that tell you? It's an admission by him that they did not have the proper tools and talent, nor did they have the kinds of guys they needed to run Spags' scheme at its best. When Spags has things going the way he wants to, they rely on a 4-3 base with that front four getting the primary results out of the pass rush. You know, they get certain things done. You leave them alone. You say front four, you're going to take care of this, this, and this, and now we'll work on the back seven and do what we want to do because we know the front four is going to give us certain types of results. Well, that was not the case with the Saints that year. They did not have the personnel to be able to do that. And so the things that Spags does best really didn't fit well to the personnel on that Saints team that season. And again, Sean Payton clearly admitted that because the day that they parted ways, I repeat, he said we're going to bring in a new defensive coordinator and he's going to play the 3-4. He's going to base everything off of a 3-4. So Payton knew, he knew that that was a recipe for disaster and he had to change direction immediately because that defense was not suited to the best things that Spags does. Well, guess what? The Giants are, okay? They've got really good cornerbacks when they're healthy. They've got a front four that got after people, certainly the second half of last season, but primarily relying on JPP, who we have all talked about over the last several weeks, is certainly a very high possibility of being franchise tagged. John Mara himself has said he expects Jason Pierre-Paul to be a Giant in 2015. So if you go under that assumption, and we know Robert Ayers played very well with his pass rush during 2014, there's no reason to expect that, you know, that he won't be effective next year as a pass rusher. DeMontre Moore continues to have to progress and mature. So I think the Giants are going to have some pass rush capabilities out of that D-line, which is what Spags wants. And we know he's got the corners that he wants. So there are tools here to work with that will allow Spags to do some of the things that he always wanted to do when he was a DC here the first time around. So that is why I'm going to hang my hat on him, belief in him, confidence in him. And yes, we all know the Giants need a few more pieces. We know they need some tweaks. We understand that. No one's going to tell you otherwise. But I do feel very optimistic that he's going to be able to, if not recreate some of that magic from years past, that he'll be able to, let's just say, continue to develop some of the stuff that he did then, the second time around, now that he's the Giants' defensive coordinator once again. So, again, our number is 201-939-4513. If you want to talk about Spags, if you want to talk about the Pro Bowl, obviously Odell Beckham out in Arizona is going to be in the Pro Bowl on Sunday. That's a big deal for him for sure. Eli Manning, by the way, very surprised. I know I've seen some people mention this on the internet. Eli was not even high on the alternate list for quarterbacks. He had a terrific season. And I, for one, am a little surprised that as the alternates kept falling off the board, or should I say getting promoted as other guys were dropping out of the Pro Bowl, I am surprised because there's no doubt in my mind that Eli was a top 10 quarterback in the NFL once again this season. Now, how high do you want to put him? I don't know. But, you know, alternates have kind of moved up on the rung there. And I'm a little surprised you don't hear anything about Eli. But obviously the way the fan voting went and the player voting went and the coaches' voting went, Eli did not rank high enough on the alternate list to have an opportunity to go. Which, you know what, for him, he's probably happy to relax. He's already been there twice. Doesn't need to go back. But in any event, just some topics you want to throw out there, I want to throw out there. Maybe you want to talk about the Super Bowl. Maybe you want to talk about the Patriots and the Seahawks. I've talked on Twitter a lot with the fans the last couple of days, caught a lot of flack. I do think the Patriots will beat the Seahawks by at least a touchdown. I have a very strong belief in that for a lot of reasons. But I don't want to make this a Seahawk or a Patriot or a Super Bowl show. But if you do want to touch on that, I'll be glad to talk about that with you. But I just thought that the Green Bay Packers, basically gave forth one of the biggest cases of charity in the NFL postseason that we've ever seen. And we do know the Giants have had some of those cases over the postseason as well over their years and their history here. But the Packers, they put one right in that same box and gift-wrapped it to Seattle. So, in any event, again, 201-939-4513 is our phone number, and you can also get us at hashtag Giants Chat. All right, let's go to the first phone call of the day on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I believe it's Nugs from Minnesota. You're first on the program. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Paul?
Good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good.
Just a quick mention about that Green Bay Packers game. I was engaging in Schadenfreude because it was good to watch another team wet the bed besides us. You know what I mean?
Well,
and I live in Minnesota where everybody's got a Vikings coat and a Green Bay Packers coat, depending on, you know, who's in the playoffs this year. So,
you know, the tough part of being in Minnesota is that they've lost 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
That's not too cool.
I'm a Giants fan, and we won 4, so.
That is true.
I wanted to touch on the Spags hiring. I do think that it was like a comfort zone type hiring for Tom Coughlin. I would have liked to have personally seen Pepper Johnson get a chance, just mm-hmm. because I feel like, you know, I'm old school Giant, so I love Pepper, and I would just like to see, you know, he was, because what we need is linebacker. I mean, if you look at the overall, like, end of the season ratings between the defenses that Perry Fuel had and the couple defenses that Spags gave us, they're pretty similar. We were like 7th and 8th in categories like on third down, sacks, this, that, you know what I'm saying, yardage per game, points per game. You know, we're in the same ballpark. But the thing that I think did Perry Fuel in that was a benefit to Spags was that he had Antonio Pierce. And if you look back on those Super Bowl Giants defenses when we had Pierce or whatever, how many times was Pierce putting guys in the right place? You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, Spags was calling the play, but maybe Pierce is tapping, you know, OC on the butt, like, you know, a little outside leverage or,
well,
you know.
Before you go any further, and I don't want to interrupt you, but don't you think that Beeson is along that same line?
But the thing about Beeson is that he can't stay healthy. It's one thing.
I won't argue with you with that.
If I'm going to grade a guy on, you know, the 5 games that he's there, but the point is, what about those other 11 games when you weren't there and that
sure.
those were the games that we needed you, you know what I mean? And I think that, you know, JPP, I just hope he doesn't try to break the bank. I think he should come back at a reasonable price, maybe give us a hometown discount. But at the end of the day, Spags' defense and Perry Fuel's defense are basically running similar philosophies. You want your front four to get the pressure so you can max coverage. So we can say, okay, the old-school Giants defense had a better D-line. This Giants defense has a better secondary. But at the end of the day, if our D-line isn't going to get home in crucial games, because there were crucial games where the D-line didn't get home, and
right.
yeah, they picked up the sack production at the end of the game, but, I mean, at the end of the season, but what's the point in JPP picking up his sack numbers when the fat lady's gargling salt water getting ready to sing on our season, you know what I mean?
Like, I understand your pain on that one, believe me, and I'm sure Tom Coughlin does as well. Let me just give you a couple of numbers here, just to kind of refer to what you were talking about. Spags' defense, during the 2 years he was here, the Giants ranked 7th and then 5th in
yep.
the 2 years that he was here defensively. Then they were, in the last several years under Coach Fuel, 29th, the year before 8th. The year before that, 31st. The year before that, 27. You know, year before that, 7. So it's been very up and down, very varied in terms of Coach Fuel's track record here. In some years, it's been very, very similar in terms of his final ranking to Spags. In other years, not so much. Of course, he was here longer. The other thing is he was here longer than Spags, too, so there's a bigger body of work and, therefore, harder to maintain that consistency. So I want to be fair.
I agree. I agree with everything you're saying. But at the end of the day, I think that I remember the game when I saw, it was like I literally saw Antonio Pierce, like, lose a step. it was against the Philadelphia Eagles, and they still had Donovan McNabb at the time, and it was a little option thing that Westbrook was running out of the out of the backfield, and he killed Pierce on it, you know, over the
I remember the play. I remember the play.
That play.
It was in Philadelphia.
10 out of 10 times, but he got burnt on that play like two times, and then I was just like, oh, man, we're really in deep. We're in trouble now, because at the end of the day, that middle linebacker, I know we talk about Antrell Roe and, you know, he lines people up and this, that, and the other, being the quarterback on the defense, but that middle linebacker, he's the guy who has to be your quarterback on defense. And I just hope that when Spags comes in, I know we need to tweak a lot of other areas on defense and offensive line, this, that, and the other. But if Spags comes in and we put our season on Beeson again, he's going to be we're going to be talking about his job security too, because I just think that Beeson is a defensive coordinator killer. I just think that if the Giants would have just identified a stud middle linebacker, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
I understand that Beeson's health and reliability has got to be a yellow flag for this team. And if they put all their eggs in his basket and assume that he's going to be there for 16 games and he's going to run Spags' defense, they're foolish. You can't do that.
Right.
There's no way you can do that. So I'm on board with you there. I think the question becomes then, as they begin to formulate safety nets for the potential of Beeson being out of the lineup, do you stick with the McLean safety net? Do you perhaps make Devon Kennard the second-string middle linebacker so that if Beeson goes out again, that Kennard's the guy in the middle? How would you feel about that?
I say we've got to step up the competition at that position.
You're right.
It just seemed, because
totally
it just
agree
seemed
with
like
you.
For the last couple of years, even when McLean was in there and he was doing all right, it was never a possibility that it was really going to be his job. It just seemed like whoever was in there for at the moment was just holding the spot for Beeson. But for Giants fans out here who love Beeson, it was like Aaron Curry. Aaron Curry fever. Yeah, he looks good for those three plays when he's out there, but there goes the knee.
Well, Aaron Curry didn't even look good for three plays, to be fair.
I know. But
here's,
what I'm saying is,
I know what you're saying. The Giants need more linebacker depth. I don't think there's any question about that.
We've got to draft some young guys, get them in there. If Kennard, if it's not too big for him, if the game isn't too big for him, give it to Kennard. Give him a real shot to give Beeson a run for his money. Beeson could be a good backup linebacker for us. You know what I mean?
Well, I just think
his days as a every down starter are done in the NFL. He's only getting older.
I understand. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much. I still think the plan would be for John Beeson to be the starting middle linebacker. I do believe that, but there is no doubt the Giants must formulate a contingency plan, whether it is McLean or whether it is Kennard or whether they do draft somebody to bring him in. They need to be prepared that Beeson may wind up getting knocked out of the lineup. There is no doubt about that. His durability has been an issue throughout his career, and so the Giants do have to think about it. But I also believe that best-case scenario, you also have to plan for, hey, you know what? The Giants want John Beeson to be their starting middle linebacker for 16 games. And if he can give that to them, that is the best-case scenario. I don't think you push him out now and say, well, because we think you might get hurt, you shouldn't be the starter anymore. I would disagree with the caller in that regard. And by the way, when you're talking old school, I go back to Jim Files. So Pepper Johnson, that's still young school for me. But I know where you're coming from. And I really am a big Pepper Johnson fan. The one thing you must understand, though, about him compared to Spags is that Spags does have the defensive coordinator experience and the championship DC experience. And to this point, Pepper Johnson has not even been a defensive coordinator at the D1 level or at the NFL level. And I know you say, well, somebody's got to give it to him. I understand that. But as you weigh the guys currently, clearly Spags has that rabbit's foot in his pocket that Pepper Johnson does not. I would also add one other thing about Spags. And yes, there's no question. You know, much like how things failed with the Saints, he needs to have the kinds of tools that fit what he wants to do to succeed. I would not dispute that with you at all. I just made that case as to why it didn't work out in New Orleans. But what I would say to you is that the great thing about Steve Spagnuolo And this is very, very important. And I've said this before. I said it on Giants.com. If you had an opportunity to look at it last Wednesday after Spags was hired, John Schmelk had me on the Daily Report to ask, what is it about Spags? The one thing that made him so different, that made him so good, that made him so unique, that made him special for the Giants the last time out, is that he has such a way of working with his players. There's a mutual trust between his players and him, to where they will constantly make adjustments and constantly improvise on the fly during the course of games. It's not just the preparation during the week. It's not just what are we going to do last minute before kickoff. It's not just how are we going to make adjustments at halftime because of what we've seen. It's actually series to series, okay? Every possession, when those guys are coming off to the side, Spags is not at all afraid to trust his guys and to come up with improvisational plays right there on the bench. If it's going to make his guys more comfortable, if it's going to make them believe more in the system and have ownership in the system and the plays, it's a very unique situation. This guy is very much understanding that it's a big picture thing. Spags doesn't need to take all the credit in the world for when a defense goes to the Super Bowl and wins. He's not that way. Okay, he's not going to be so sold on, oh, it's my system and it's got to be that way. No, he understands that, okay, I'm going to prepare you. I'm going to give you what you need to do. And if you got something that you think we need to do, let me know about it. And we're going to work on that. And we're going to work on that right now. Next time you go out there. Okay. Oh, time to go. All right, defense, get out there. Let's run that play we just drew up in the dirt. That's what makes Steve Spagnuolo so special. And you can't teach a guy to be that way. It's got to be from in here and up here. You have to be willing to have that inside of you, to have the confidence and to build the trust with your players and to have that give and take and to be able to be flexible enough to make those kinds of moves and also to understand the X's and O's part of it, to be smart enough to know, hey, okay, you just want to do that? Yeah, you go, oh, wait a minute. Guys, we can't do that because of this. So he wouldn't just fly by the seat of his pants now. There was a lot of football acumen behind any of the improvisational stuff that Spags did with his players. But I think that is what makes him so special. So even if the Giants don't have all of the stuff that he wants, they should have more of the things that he needs here on this team than the Saints did the year he was DC there, when he just did not have much of a cupboard at all. That's why I think it's a better fit here and why it will work here much better than those people who want to criticize him for his year in New Orleans. 201-935-4513 is our phone number if you'd like to give us a call. I see the calls are just flooding in here, so I do want to get to some of the Twitters in just a second, but we'll go right back to the phones. Let's go to Ernest from Connecticut. You're next on the show. Hello. Ernest, you're on the program. Good morning. I think Ernest was on the cell phone, probably driving, so we've lost him. Safe travels, my friend. Let's go to Jay from Connecticut. You are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
How you doing?
Great, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just two points I wanted to hit on today.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm coming out of Connecticut, you know, diehard Giants fan. This is what I'm thinking, right? I believe this team, we got a lot of talent on this team. I don't want to point the fingers really on the players, saying that the players really weren't performing, because I believe these guys out there, they're playing hard. But I believe that we got a lot of guys like Pace Singer, guys like, you know, Corey Washington, guys that really weren't in the game that I feel like could have been contributors. You get what I'm saying? So I feel like there was a lot of coaching mistakes rather than player mistakes out there. Because, you know, I mean, it was just it was tough for me watching. It was just really tough for me this year watching, because I believe that we had a lot of talent that just wasn't on the field.
Well, Jay, here's the thing that I want you to keep in mind, and it's a difference in philosophy, and I understand what you're saying in terms of, hey, there may have been guys on the bench who you figure should have deserved an opportunity, or, hey, just mix it up and try it and let's see what they can do. I understand that line of thinking, but here's what I will tell you. Now, Tom Coughlin's line of thinking has always been, you have to earn your snaps on Sunday, which means you have to perform very well in practice and show that you can be trusted. Then you also have to do well in the film room because the Giants give quizzes. I don't know if you, I don't know how many folks out there know that, but I'm sure it's been written about in the papers at some point. Every week, the Giants give their players quizzes, okay, on the game plan and on their opponent. They get written quizzes, like pop quizzes in school. And that's partly how coach determines how well you're doing in the film room and how well you know what it is you're supposed to do.
But this is why it was so hard for me to watch, because I sat and watched us go 0-6. And Paysinger was out there rocking out. I mean, he was busting balls out there. You know what I'm saying?
But Paysinger was nicked up, though.
He was the best linebacker in that season, and he comes out and he gets no run. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but this year, whoa, Jay.
You know he's grabbing all those touchdowns. Washington had a preseason.
Jay, hold on.
Why not give him a shot?
Paysinger had a concussion this year. Yeah, but Paysinger had a concussion this year. He missed some time because of a concussion. He wasn't right. I think he also might have had a hammy, too.
I get that, but I just believe that it wasn't just those two guys. I believe it was more guys.
All right. Well,
it was more guys that could have been out there playing some ball.
Jay,
but, I mean,
I appreciate the call. I understand your train of thought. It's just a different philosophy. We're going to let you go. And please do call again. But to finish the thought that I was trying to make, and it's, again, you can agree to disagree on this. Tom Coughlin believes you have to earn your snaps in practice and you have to earn it in the film room and on the quizzes. And then, of course, you have to produce in the games. So now your take would be, well, how can you produce in the games if you don't get on the field? Understood. But here's the thing you got to remember. Tom has always believed in that particular style of coaching. And he's won two Super Bowls doing it. And he's put together a Hall of Fame consideration type resume doing it. And so if that's the way he's going to do it, then that's the way he's going to do it. And you have to respect that. You have to live with it. And you have to say, you know what? Maybe there are some guys who aren't getting an opportunity that you'd like to see. But this is the system that this coach has used, and he's won an awful lot of games and had a great career in doing it. So you have to go by the coach's system. It's his prerogative whether or not he wants to force guys to earn their way onto the field on Sunday or not. Now, maybe there are some other coaches in this league, and I happen to know because I've been around some of them over the course of the years, who would just change to make a change. Pull a guy out of the lineup and just throw another guy in the lineup just to do it. I've seen that happen too. But I'll tell you, Tom Coughlin's track record's good enough for me that I respect the way he does it, and I understand it. And you know what? More often than not, he's probably going to be right in any event. 201-939-4513. Want to get to some of these Twitters or tweets, I should say. We have Joe, JCSO2008, says, Paul, could you see Mario Manningham trying out for the Giants this year? Do you think he will retire? I don't know if he's officially filed his retirement papers with the NFL. But no, I think the knee just was not good enough to make it back. He rehabbed. He did everything he could. Obviously came back here wanting to rekindle the magic that he had with the Giants, and they in the worst way wanted him. Believe me, with Odell Beckham out of the lineup during the entire offseason and the preseason, they wanted Manningham to fill that role and be that guy. But his knee just wouldn't respond, and he couldn't do it. And as a result, you know, he had to go. And it's unfortunate, but at the same time, you know what? And it's weird how sometimes these dominoes fall. If Manningham had been healthy and had been able to fulfill that role and was able to get through the season, Odell Beckham Jr. may have never been able to step up and slide into the slot, or not the slot on the field, but the position on the roster and the position in the Giants receiving rotation that he eventually wound up having. It's really something to think about at times on how these things happen. But in any event, no, I don't think Manningham's going to play for the Giants. I think he probably is finished. I haven't talked to him. I haven't talked to his agent. I don't know where his medical status stands right now, but I would think it's probably a safe bet that you've seen the last of Mario Manningham as a wide receiver in the NFL. We have, let's see here. Avery says Beeson's contract should be restructured with a pay cut or he should be released. Love the guy but can't stay healthy. Draft linebackers. I like McClain. We need an upgrade if possible. Bring other linebackers in to compete and for depth. Again, I don't think anybody at the Giants facility is foolish enough to put all their eggs in John Beeson's basket for 16 games. I think they understand they have to have a strong contingency plan. How can you not? I mean, that's just common sense. And I'm sure that Spagnuolo, when he came in for his interview, that must have been one of the things that they talked about. Okay, we have here, what do you think in the second round, Denzel Perryman from the U? So says James Jones. I've had people mention his name to me. He will certainly be on my radar as one of the guys I start to look at as I get closer into looking at more film and more tape and making my phone calls and doing all my research for the draft. Haven't gotten really, really strong into that stuff yet, but suffice it to say, I have heard the name brought up before, so he will be on PDOT's radar, trust me. And we will try to do as much research as we can on as many guys as we can. And as we get closer to draft day, I'm sure we'll be able to talk about a lot of these kinds of guys. We have Dwayne Kennedy says, I think coaches coach the position they played hardest. That's why I wouldn't mind Pep. The return of Blackburn was a key to 2011. Well, you know, interesting thing about Pepper Johnson. In the years he's been an assistant coach in the NFL, 14 seasons I believe he's done it now, he's coached the linebackers and he's also coached the defensive line, which is, you know, not unusual. Guys do bounce around as position coaches. But, you know, coaching the defensive line is not the same as linebackers. So I don't know. I mean, again, I have a great deal of respect for Pepper Johnson. And obviously, all the years that he spent on a Belichick, you know, he understands defense, and he played it. And I get all that. But I personally believe that Spagnuolo was the best choice for this job. I said that many, many, many a times over the course of the last couple of months, that if the spot was going to be vacated, if it was going to be open, he would be the most logical candidate, at least according to everything that I put up on my board when I try to figure out the potential guys who would come in. But, yeah, I think Pepper deserved an interview, and he got one. And I hope that that things work out well for him, because I would never preclude Pepper Johnson from coming back here in some capacity. I don't think there's any doubt that by having him in here for an interview, that showed you how they think about him and how serious they would be about considering him for a spot if it should arise again down the road, whether it be a DC spot or potentially a linebacker spot or whatever the case may be. But I know Pepper wants to be a defensive coordinator in the NFL. That's really where his heart is. And so I'm sure he's going to try to land one of those spots if he can with somebody else. Giants chat, let's see. We have Vic Fontana says, my gut tells me Spags was the comfortable hire for the learning curve. He had much more talent in the past, so I'm nervous. Well, let's make something very clear. John Mara said pretty much the Giants have to win this season. I mean, there's no more waiting here. The Giants have not made the playoffs in five of the last 6 years. They've had two back-to-back losing seasons. No. They're not interested in waiting. They're interested in making the playoffs in 2015. And I do agree that I think Spagnuolo, with his experience here as a championship defensive coordinator, gives you a sense of comfort, a sense for, hey, he did it before. He can do it again and do it again quickly, because make no mistake about it, John Mara said what he had to say because he meant it. John Mara doesn't throw words out there lightly. I know the man. He does not. He speaks with a very measured tongue and purpose. The Giants want to make the playoffs this year. And for that reason also, again, do you want to elevate a guy like a Pepper who had not been a DC before and put him in this spot, knowing that he's got to get it done right away? No learning curve. Got to happen now. Just another reason why Spagnuolo was an outstanding choice. At least I think so. Okay, let's see. Romo Cop 74, safe to say they will go O-line with their first pick and will address defense with every other one. Well, you guys know how I feel about the offensive line. There's no question they have to fortify it. And all three of the Giants triumvirate in the power seats, Reese, Mara, Coughlin, all have said that they need to fortify the offensive line. And at least two of the three made it sound like it was a top priority. So I think it's pretty safe to say the Giants are going to go high for an offensive lineman, or perhaps maybe they're going to wind up spending more money in free agency to get one. But they will address that offensive line. I can pretty much guarantee that based on the things that they have said. All right, let's go back to the phones. Oh, we're having phone troubles, I'm told. Oh, so we're okay now.
No, it's being updated.
We're being updated. Okay. All right. So here's the deal. We did have Landon, Drew, and Jeff and Dre all on hold over the course of the last several minutes while I was going on and on about Steve Spagnuolo and other things related to the Giants. I'm now being told the phones are being updated by the phone company. No calls for 10 minutes. Everyone called back in 10 to 15. And we're just now breaking the 12:30 mark here in New York. So Len, Drew, Jeff, and Dre, I think you were cut off. Were they all cut off? Okay, oh, we do have them back. We will get them back. Okay, great. So hopefully, folks, what will happen is we'll have you all back. And, you know, please dial in and stay with us. Be patient. And I like to break down the third wall. I like to talk to you folks out there as well as the folks in the room. Not everybody goes along those lines, but I do. It's my style. Being Italian, you know, I'm a people person. Like to talk to people. Like to let you know what's going on sometimes behind the scenes of this magical world that we have at Big Blue Kickoff Live. So, Len, Drew, Jeff, and Dre, once again, we were aware of your phone calls. We did put you there in the console, and apparently there was an issue. So, stand by. And we'll let you know when we can get back to you at 201-939-4513. In the meantime, the good news is Twitter is still up. That hasn't exploded yet. So we can still go to Twitter and get some of your questions and your comments. So let's see what we have here. I've got Big-07088 says, McAdoo was unproven and they put him in when the offense was broken, so Pepper could have got a chance. Well, here's the thing. The Giants, when they said that the offense was, quote, broken as an administration 2 years ago, they clearly wanted to go in a totally different direction and a totally different style of offense. That's what McAdoo brought to the table. Something totally out of left field. The Giants are running an offense now that really doesn't very much resemble what they used to do. They wanted to go from, well, let's just say for argument's sake, Diet Pepsi to regular Pepsi. It's offense, but it's a different one, different style. So they needed to go outside their circle or their comfort zone to make that move. That's not the case here with this defense. They believe that they still want to be a base 4-3, at least from everything that I've gleaned. And as a result, they're not looking to change over a whole bunch of things. What they just want is somebody who's still going to work with the basic Tom Coughlin core philosophy of the 4-3, getting pressure on the quarterback, and go from there. And so, you know, they're not interested, at least from my perception, they were not interested in trying something new. Now, you're going to say to me, well, Pepper Johnson, you know, played with the Giants. He's not something new. Yeah, but when he played here, he was in a 3-4. You know? So, and of course, he's done a lot of that over his time, you know, in the NFL as an assistant coach. So, no, it's not the same. It is not the same. The Giants still wanted to go to something defensively that was much more akin to what they've been doing as opposed to the offense, which they totally wanted to go in a different direction. Much more drastic changes were sought out 2 years ago for this offense than this past year now for what they want to do with the defense. So I disagree with your thought. All right, let's go back to Twitter. Dwayne Kennedy comes back again and says, I like Spags. I just said I would not have minded Pep. Old school Giants, you know. Again, Pepper Johnson was a terrific candidate. He's a guy who came in. The Giants supposedly, according to all the written reports, had 4 interviews for the defensive coordinator job. And Pepper Johnson was one of them. That shows you the respect they have for him. And, you know, clearly they were serious about him or they wouldn't have brought him in. Trust me. Why would they do that? Why would they bring in Pepper Johnson if they didn't think that he was a legitimate candidate? So, you know what? They didn't pick him. It happens. And again, if it were my choice, I would have picked Spags too. So we go back to Twitter. Christopher Doval, or Doval, says they'll do the same thing they did last year with the first-round pick, give their new coordinator a new explosive player. So you're thinking somebody in the front seven. I would presume a big-time pass rusher. Hey, who's going to argue with that? I mean, as much as I'd like to see them fortify the offensive line, and they've already admitted to that, there's no question. The Giants also need help and fortification on the defensive line, linebacker, and they need it in the safety. I mean, Demps, Stevie Brown, Antrell Roll, all unrestricted free agents. You don't know what's going to happen with them. So Berry and Cooper Taylor are the only safeties that are signed up to this roster right now. And Cooper Taylor hasn't been on the field in 2 years because of injuries. So, you know, those are the four positions, in my mind, that take priority, if you will. So, how do you want to fill them? You want to draft them in the first four rounds? Do you want to sign some free agents? What do you want to do? You know, this is what the Giants hierarchy now makes their money doing, figuring out the answers to those questions. So, yes, I get you. Absolutely, the Giants need to get more help for their front seven on defense. There is no doubt about that. And, you know, I'm sure it'll come in the draft at some point in those first four picks. I think that's a pretty logical assumption. But first things first, they got to find out what's going on with JPP. And, again, as I've been saying now for quite a while, I think all the signs point to JPP being franchised, and I do believe he will be here. Okay, good news, folks, here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Our number is 201-939-4513, and the phones are back. So, Drew from Virginia, you're next on the program. Hello.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today, man?
I'm okay, Drew. How are you?
All righty. First and foremost, man, I agree. Let's talk about Beeson. I agree 100% with Nugs. Actually, 1,000%. And I gotta tell you right now, I was one who begged for Beeson to come back to the Giants, to be re-signed to the Giants. And you know, after this season, man, you know, I was painfully reminded of why that was such a concern. And I have to agree with Nugs, man. Beeson, I love his demeanor. Yeah, he's going to be a great leader. He appears to be a great leader and everything. And that's what's really attractive about Beeson to me. But yeah, we can't. I honestly don't think we can depend on Beeson. You know, and that's a shame. It's a huge concern because I'm sure any team out there would love to have him, but this guy can't stay healthy, and so we have to have a contingency plan for him.
But it kind of sounds like you're agreeing with me, because you can go three ways on this. You can blindly put all your eggs in his basket for 16. You can have a contingency plan and say, well, you know what, we got a hedge here. Or you could just say, we're going to scrap him and we want to go in a totally different direction. There were really three choices. I think you sound like you agree with me that choice number two is the smartest way to go.
Well, yeah. I'll go with two, which is we need to have a contingency plan for him.
Sure.
You know, because yeah, we got him. We signed. I don't know. What's his contract? I think we have him for another year.
He signed through the 2016 season.
Okay, so yeah, we got him for another year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worried about 16 right now. To be honest with you, Drew, I'm worried about 15.
Well, you know, 15, 16, whatever, because to be quite honest, I hate to say this, and it's way early to even say this, but I'll tell you right now, I honestly don't think he'll do half the season. And I hate to say that. And, you know, that's looking at his injury history and then, of course, obviously, you know, the season that just passed. So, you know, that's my concern. So I honestly think that the Giants really, really have to come up with a, you know, plan B just in case. With regards to Spags, I'm kind of, you know, it's Spags is a good hire, and I don't have any reservations on Spags. But this great love affair, he's going to come in and, you know, all is going to be right. I'm not necessarily, jumping on that bandwagon just yet. We did need a new DC, and Peppers, I hadn't really, looked too hard at Peppers. Actually, I didn't really look at any of the defensive coordinators, to be quite honest. You know, I know what Peppers did, for us as a player, but
sure.
If Spags or anybody can come in here and fix this defense, I'm all happy for that. This Google Gaga old Spags is the greatest thing since, sliced bread. Well, let's just see. For me, I'm a proponent of let's see what you have, as opposed to, giving me your glowing resume.
Well, you know what, Drew? Bottom line is the Giants believe that this is the best route that they could possibly take to be a playoff team in 2015. And yeah. I think that, you could tell by looking at the resume and by looking at his record, not just somewhere else, but here, that there are a lot of reasons why they think that he can get them back into the playoffs. Not necessarily – and look, everybody wants to win every year – I don't think the Giants are sitting there in the front office saying, we're going to win the Super Bowl in 2015. What they're saying is, first things first, we got to get to the playoffs again. And I think if the Giants make the playoffs in 2015, chances are Spags will have had something to do with that, don't you think?
Yeah, no doubt about that. And again, like I said, first and foremost, okay, and I guess I need to clarify myself. I am happy we got Spags back. Okay. So I am happy, and honestly, the way the defense played, I mean, you can only go but up. So I mean, you look at what Dallas did the year before, and what they're doing, what they did this year. The only way is up. So,
I understand.
There's no doubt. So there's going to be a couple of things. You're going to have, everybody's going to look at, oh, Spags is back, but I think the defense is going to get a little bit better.
It should.
Even with the fact that we do have players that we need to look at. I kind of hate to lose Antro Roe, but we'll see what happens, man. And then the last thing I want to say, Paul, because I know you got calls from
Yeah,
you
I
go.
Do. I people are really flooding us here. Go ahead.
Huh?
I said people are flooding the phone line, so go ahead one more quickly.
Yeah, okay, just quickly, man. I know you're not a Seahawks fan, but honestly, man, I'm hoping and praying the Seahawks beat Belichick and teams, man. And
Belichick.
Well, because I mean, once again that the New England Patriots is being investigated for some play. So yeah, Belichick.
Okay, Drew. I like
however,
that.
However, I won't take anything from the Patriots in terms of their accomplishment. I mean, that's impressive for what Bill Belichick has been able to do over the course of his career with the New England Patriots. That is impressive. But I got to tell you right now, I am not a New England fan. I'm a New York fan, and I'm a Yankees fan on top of that. So I cannot stand New England.
Drew, I dig you, man, because that New York-Boston thing is one of the great rivalries across all levels in sports. Hey, appreciate the call, my man. Thank you. Take care. Len from Maryland, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Paul. How you doing,
buddy? I'm okay. How are you?
Good, good, good. Listen, I just wanted to chime in on the Steve Spagnuolo hiring.
Sure.
I like it.
Yeah.
And maybe you've been saying this already in your comments, but I wanted to put a little different twist on it.
Sure.
I think Steve brings a credibility to the locker room.
No doubt.
And I think he brings a culture that, he's familiar with he's familiar with this locker room. He's familiar with the way the Giants do things. He's familiar with Tom Coughlin. And Paul, maybe most importantly, he knows the NFC East. And to me, that's very important. He knows what it's like to play NFC East.
Although, to be fair, Len, he hasn't been here for a while now, between the Baltimore Ravens job, the Saints job, the Rams job. He's been away for a while.
I know the Ravens are not in the NFC East, Paul,
but they play that kind of ball.
He played under a coach down there that's got the kind of mentality and philosophy that would fit in the NFC.
It's a tough blue-collar mentality. I agree, absolutely. And you know what? That's the kind of mentality that drew Tom Coughlin to Spags when he was an assistant with the Eagles.
And you know what, Paul? It's a Giants fan mentality also.
Yeah.
You know, we're in that blue collar. We're always talking about defense and Spags bring this. I like the hire, and I hope it works out for the Giants. Hey, a comment on Eli and the Pro Bowl, if I may. You know, I have this theory. I can't prove this, Paul, but I just have a feeling over the years you make the Pro Bowl in the first 8 weeks of the season. Especially when it comes to the fans voting. It's those early Monday night games, Thursday night games.
Right.
You know, the late games on Sunday, Sunday night with Chris Collinsworth raving about you, talking about how great you are. Yeah, it just seems like if your team steps up in those first 6 to 8 weeks, you know, and the Giants were in the middle of that, you know, middle of that seven-game losing streak, Paul.
Right.
You know, I think that's when you make it. You made a comment before about Kennard at you know, playing middle linebacker. I don't know if you remember this, but you and I had a conversation back just before preseason started. The Giants had just placed Beeson on the PUP list.
Yep.
Everybody was hoping he'd be back in 2 weeks, 4 weeks, certainly by game one. And, we had a five-game preseason schedule for the first time in I don't know how many years. And, you and I talked a little bit about, you know, we brought McClain in here. We brought him into play on the outside. He's got some inside experience. Okay, he was in 3-4 in Baltimore. It wasn't a, you know, fourth defense, middle linebacker type thing. Why not stick Kennard in there for a couple of weeks anyway? Let McClain play on the outside, play Kennard inside, but hey, it's great to look back, isn't it? It's easy to look back and say that's the way we should have done it, but
I wouldn't
give up on Kennard at middle linebacker.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
But, you know, to hit the rewind button, at that time, man, you know how Tom Coughlin is with rookies. They really got to prove a lot of things to him before they have that kind of responsibility. So I understood why he went the way he went. But you heard me say it before, and you're saying it again now. To me, you have to think about Kennard as a possible middle linebacker option. You have to.
Yeah.
And he's already shown his willingness to learn and his willingness to be versatile when he was at USC.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Listen, one more thing, and then you can go on to the other callers. You know, and I'm going to leave an opening here first to talk positively about 2015. But, you know, Paul, when that season ended, we had an awful lot of 6'10 players, 6'10 players on that team.
Yeah, understood.
You know, the talent deficiency. Everybody gets excited about the first-round draft pick, and I do too, you know. And we're going to get a player there, Paul. We need more than one player, Paul.
Yes, Len, but I would say this to you too. Many of those players who were 10-6 players were on injured reserve too.
Yeah.
I mean, John Mara had a really great point when he said half of the guys who went on injured reserve, you know, think about if Prince – is there all season, if Walter Thurman is there all season, if John Beeson is there all season. I do think it's fair when John Mara says, and, you know, we talk about that whole mantra that injuries can't be an excuse, but they can sometimes be a reason. John Mara, when he said, hey, if you get half of those guys back off the injured list, those are some quality players we're talking about.
Yeah, now when I started on this topic, Paul, I said to you, I'm going to leave an opening for us to talk about how things were better than when I talk about a lot of six and players.
Yes.
But, you know, if we're going to stay ahead of the Redskins, if we're going to catch the Eagles, and we're going to scare the Cowboys a little bit next year, we really need an infusion of talent, Paul. And I'm hoping that comes out of, you know, from the scouting, it comes out of our drafts. I'm at a point now where I want our players to be homegrown. You know, I just don't want guys from other teams. I want our guys.
Len, they got a hit in the draft this year, and they got a hit really well.
Absolutely.
I'm with you 100%.
Paul.
I got to run.
Okay, Paul, thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Jeff from Rhode Island. We got a few more people on the line. I want to try to get to all of them, so try to be brief. Jeff, go ahead. You're next on the show. Hello.
Okay, buddy. I'll be brief. Jimmy Files, number one draft pick and number 70 from the University of Oklahoma. Won number 58. Same
yes,
as
he did. Yes, he did, my friend.
I go back to those days, too, buddy.
I hear
I
you,
like
baby.
I like it when you're on because I can always try and slot something in about the old-timers, so there I really you. Like it when you're on the show.
You were probably sitting okay. right behind me at the Yale Bowl, weren't you?
Yeah. Look, at my interest in is to see the Giants. I mean, I know we need help on both sides of the ball, but I'm thinking, in my way of thinking, the Giants' linebacker position is like the weakest link on the defense. And it's probably not fair of me to ask you this question right now, but
I think safety is, by the way. Safety right now is really thin. I mean, you know, with only Berhe and Taylor under contract, I think safety's probably weaker.
Okay. Well, perhaps. Let's say both of them need help. The Giants have ignored that position for quite some time. What I wanted to ask you was, I know the Senior Bowl is going to be played this Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll be on later in a week, but
I'll be on tomorrow.
My question was,
I'll be back tomorrow.
Is there anybody that I'll be able to watch on Saturday at the linebacker position that hopefully might be able to play for the Giants?
Here's what I'm going to ask you to do for me. You can either hit me up on Twitter or get back to me tomorrow on tomorrow's show because I have not downloaded the Senior Bowl roster yet. What I want to do is, over the course of the next several days, I'm going to download the Senior Bowl roster, and then I'm going to check my guys who I'm looking at specifically on my radar at key positions, like you said. And then I'm also going to, obviously, when I study the game tape of the game, I'll look at other guys, too, who maybe weren't on my original list. But, yes, I do intend on doing that. So get to me on either on Twitter at GiantsWFAN or get to me tomorrow on the show, and I'll see if I can come up with a couple of names for you.
Okay, then I'll call you back on the show tomorrow then.
You got
Paul.
It, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Be well. Ann from Virginia, you're next on the show. Hello.
I knew you would save me for last.
I got one more. Happy New Year, Ann. I got one more, so please try to move along.
I'm at my desk, and I'm looking at stats. I'm going real fast because I'm an accountant. Tom Coughlin's last few years at Jacksonville, I'm on Pro Football Reference. He went .438 and .375. And it looks like we're trending downward that way again. And so my question to you is if the Giants do not make the playoffs next year, will Tom and Eli still be there, or will there be a changing of both, the combination of Tom and Eli? Will they not be together?
Okay. Well, to answer the question, I'll be honest with you, Ann, and I'm telling you with 100% honesty, you got to wait for the evidence to come in. If the Giants don't make the playoffs because of other reasons, now I think John Mara's mandate that said they need to make it this year pretty much tells you that Tom Coughlin kind of has to get there. Now, about Eli,
he's trending down. I'm looking at it now.
I understand.
I'm looking at New York trending down, .375.
And here's what I'm going to tell you, though. Ann, here's what happened in Jacksonville. That team got very old. That team had tremendous salary cap problems. And when you put those two things together, you can't help but go but down. This team, this Giants team down the hall, they're not very old right now. They got a lot of young guys. And they're in decent shape with the salary cap.
But I don't think it's the same.
It's not the same.
Eli, will they make a change, maybe bring in a new quarterback or a new coach, or will they continue to keep them together?
Well, here's what I think is going to happen.
Brady and Belichick.
Here's what I think is going to happen.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ann, for the call.
Uh-huh.
I think Eli's going to get an extension before this season opens. So, no. I think you're going to be tied with Eli for a while. Okay, because I think he's going to get an extension, so that means you're not going to be able to get rid of him. You're going to be married to Eli for quite a long time, I do believe. Probably a 4 or 5 year deal is coming up down the pike. I just, that's my gut feeling. So I don't think he's going anywhere, and I think he's going to have another good season. I believe in Eli Manning. I'm sorry, but I do. I don't think he's going to fall on his face. I think he had a terrific season this past year. And as far as Tom Coughlin, I believe that, yeah, I think he's got a chance to get the Giants back into the playoffs. I know the Giants feel that way, too, because that's the goal. And if they didn't think he could, he would not be here today. So, yeah, I think they're going to be around. I do. Now, if they don't make it, there are going to be some moves again. And Tom Coughlin's probably going to be at the top of that list because, again, the Giants have said Got to make it. Ernest from Connecticut, you are last on the show. Hello.
Hello there. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. How are you?
I have a couple of questions.
Please
possible,
do.
But I'd like to hear at least a couple of because I use. Well, one thing I would like to ask is for Andre Williams, the running back, besides him being a big body, can you make the case for me why they're so high on him and why they shouldn't go out and get a scat back or something of that nature? What is it about him that's so spectacular that he's done this year that everybody's raving so much about him? I like, besides being a big, big body.
Well, Andre Williams in combination with Rashad Jennings, and I think that that's the way of the league right now. You know, guys want one and 1A. That not too many teams want to go with one guy who's going to go 25, 30 times a game. That's kind of not happening in this league anymore. And I think when you consider that he is a 1A back to Rashad Jennings, I don't think it's as demanding as what you're talking about. You know, you're probably saying to me, well, he's not Joe Morris. Well, he doesn't have to be Joe Morris. You know, he doesn't have to be Rodney Hampton. He's got to be more like what Derek Ward was. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, when the Giants had their running game going and they had Barber and Jacobs, or they had Barber and Dane, or they had Derek Ward and Andre and Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs, when you work him in conjunction with another guy, he doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all guy. So I think your comment about Andre Williams, I think your expectation or your requirement of him is too high. Lower it a little bit and understand he's going to work in conjunction with Jennings. And when you lower that bar, you understand that he can get that done. He doesn't have to be a 25 carry a game guy.
Well, no, I'm not. No. But his average is what, a 2.9 or something like that, a 3.9.
Offensive line was very inconsistent blocking this year, though, and really that's a huge part of his problems, in addition to the rookie growing pains that a lot of guys have in their first year in the NFL.
Yeah, but his was absolutely off the charts, and really the offensive line, Rashad Jennings ran against that offensive line at the beginning of the season and did very well. He's a veteran.
He's seen it all. Andre Williams hadn't seen anything at that point. He was just stepping into the NFL. Let the guy get his feet wet, huh?
But what warned them to start him? What did he do?
Rashad Jennings got hurt. Rashad Jennings got hurt twice. Rashad Jennings had to go leave the lineup for several weeks because he got injured. He had a knee. He had an ankle. The Giants would have liked to have started Rashad Jennings all season, but he got hurt.
But that's what I'm saying. I think that Andre Williams is not a back right now, maybe not in the next couple of years, that you can use out there right now. I think that they need to go and get somebody in the draft or get somebody else to be that 1-2 combination as you were speaking of. I'm not saying that he has to be a Joe Morris, but I think that you have to get a little bit more productive out of anybody you put in there. What he did last year was absolutely terrible.
All right. I appreciate your time. Thank you for the call. We got to let you go. My clock is out. My clock is out. I don't have any more time. I'm sorry. If you want to call back tomorrow, I'll be here tomorrow. Or you could always dial us up on Big Blue Kickoff Live Monday to Friday, 12 noon Eastern Time till 1 o'clock, 201-939-4513. Write it down, hashtag Giants Chat, or, of course, at Twitter. You can also get me at Giants WFAN. That'll do it for today's show. Once again, folks, I'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you next time.
He's got through. 35-30.
What a kick, no punt. Goes intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!